Hello, I'm Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We have a great show. We want to get to it quickly. But before then, I have to ask you, our listeners, to consider writing us, contacting us, letting us know perhaps some topics you'd like to hear about or some suggestions for the program. If you'd like to write us, please do so at Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466. That's Post Office Box 7466, Greenwich, Connecticut. Now, the zip code in Greenwich is 06836. Again, 06836. If you would prefer emailing us, do so at clemons10@aol.com. That's C-L-E-M-O-N-S, the number 10, at aol.com. And while you're on the computer, I invite you to go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today. You could find that at this address, spirituality.org, spirituality.org. And it's important you remember the org, because the com will take you somewhere else. And while you're on there, we invite you not only to read articles, but also to listen to this program, Thoughts for the Week. You can find an archive shows and give you an idea of the wide range of topics we try to cover. And again, we invite you to let us know what perhaps you'd like to hear about. Now the time has come to focus on today's program. First, I'd like to welcome my co-host, Mrs. Dorothy Riera. Dorothy!
Hi, Father. So happy to be here with you all, and our special guests.
Yes, and our special guest today are Fran Hood, and she is joined by Pat Paniccia. Who are these people? Well, Fran is a coordinator of a group known as Magnificat. We're going to learn about that today. And she coordinates Magnificat for the Diocese of Bridgeport. And the power behind the throne is the is the treasurer, and it's Pat Paniccia. And Fran and Pat, welcome to Thoughts for the Week.
Thank you, Father.
We're delighted to have you here. Now, you know, this is a very, very special program, and anything we could do, and I hope this program is instrumental in some way in promoting Magnificat. Let's let our listeners know, first off, exactly what Magnificat is.
Okay, Magnificat is a women's group that was started back in the 1980s with a woman called Marilyn Quirk, who was a convert to the Catholic Church, and she wanted to have a charismatic type of a organization that was in the Catholic Church. So she invited a couple of women, and it just snowballed from there. And we now have over 100 chapters. We have breakfast twice a year in our diocese, and we have speakers come in to give their testimonies on how the Lord and the Holy Spirit has worked in their lives and have changed their lives.
Now, Pat, the program itself, what activities, what do you offer for women?
What we offer twice a year in our breakfast is a morning for women only that get you away from whatever strife or whatever's going on in your life, to block all that out, to come together with women who feel the same way about the Blessed Mother and Jesus, to sing, to pray together. We have praise and worship. We have Revelation 12, who is our music ministry, who leads us in song, which they say singing, isn't it, is twice.
Praying twice, right?
It's like praying twice.
I only pray once myself.
Oh, well, yeah. We sing, so we pray twice.
God bless.
And we hear testimony from a woman or a priest. We've had the Legionaries of Christ come also with their seminarians. Just to tell the other women there about their experience and the mercies and blessings they've received from the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it always seems, when I hear a speaker, there's always something that they say that speaks right to me. Mm-hmm. It may be only one paragraph, one part of their testimony, but I think for the women there, if they had a hard time, loss of a loved one, a child, or like I was, away from the church for quite a while and coming back to appreciate what the church really has to offer, it's just a day of, even though it's not particularly a day of renewal, which we do, you're renewed when you leave there because you have grown closer to Mary and to Jesus by praying and hearing other people's experience from being involved with Magnificat.
And if I can just jump in, I notice women as they come into the breakfast, they're just a little reserved. Mm-hmm. When they leave, it's almost they were transformed.
Correct.
They are so happy, so in love. They love their fellow neighbors that they're sitting next to on the table. And it's such a transformation to see that. And we always hope that that continues, you know, as they, until the next breakfast. But it's beautiful to see.
What do women do? Because if you have two breakfasts through the year, in that period of time, you kind of need to nurture and keep that holiness and that spirituality together. Do these ladies meet in their particular parish, or everybody goes their own way and you do your own prayer?
Well, we do have ministries within our ministry. Mm-hmm. We have the knitting. We have the shawl ministry, which they get together between the breakfasts. We always give our speaker a shawl that's been knitted for them. And it always seems to be either their favorite color or something that really is attached to them personally. We also, like what happened to me, I became a Eucharistic minister in my church and a lector. So I think once you feel the love of Jesus and Mary, it just leads you to become more involved in your parish. So in between our breakfasts or our days of renewal or a retreat that we may be doing, it just leads you, you open yourself up for the more mercy and blessings from God.
What does Magnificat, and I guess this is probably touches right into what you just mentioned, how does it affect families?
Hmm. Well, it does, because the woman mm-hmm. is the head of really the households in the spiritual realm. Actually, it should be the opposite, but in today's day, the women are the mothers are the ones to nurture spirituality. Mm-hmm. And it does. I had my husband in our last breakfast helping out, passing out all the little Magnificat books at the tables. They get involved a little bit in the little ways that they can, and your children see what you're doing, mm-hmm. and they hear mm-hmm. about Magnificat, mm-hmm. and it fosters, our faith is very important.
And there's no doubt that it's the mother who teaches the faith to the
correct.
Children, because it's the mother that's there. So
absolutely.
Really, we are the first educators of our
yes.
children.
And the best examples to them. If they mm-hmm. see you yeah. praying daily and saying the rosary, mm-hmm. then they're going to love it just as you do, because they see you doing it, and that is the best example to mm-hmm. the kids.
And I think that so often I don't think we appreciate the gifts, not only the gifts we have, but also the teaching you're doing or the example mm-hmm. you're giving, especially to children, because as you were speaking, I was thinking so much of my mother and how mm-hmm. what a nurturer of faith
right.
she was.
Correct.
And it's right, as a child, you're growing up, especially in our age, in a past age, it usually wasn't two people working, the parents, it was only the
right.
father going.
Right.
And that
right.
mother was that learning mm-hmm. what was important and learning mm-hmm. how to do things, everything.
In the right. initial right. introduction,
yes.
usually.
Yes. Yeah.
How many priests, are so grateful for their mothers for, bringing them to where they are, becoming a priest.
And I don't know about it here, but I come from a Latin country. In Latin countries, it is so popular to have the Blessed Mother visit every single house from house to house, and you say the rosary. I remember as a child, the Blessed Mother would come, my mother would sit down, we'd say the rosary, she'd be at the house for 3 days, then I was in charge of taking the Blessed Mother to our next door neighbor, whoever wanted. So it was a tradition that we kept, and that's
beautiful
how we
tradition.
Learned.
Beautiful,
yeah, beautiful
yeah.
tradition.
Mm-hmm. When I think of your work now in the diocese, and that there are local chapters, because you have a chapter of your own. Is that by parish or is it regional? How do you do that?
It's by diocese.
Oh, by diocese?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yes. So
okay.
there is another, in Connecticut, there is another chapter in Bristol, Connecticut. And they started up a couple years after us. So we were kind of their our sister chapter, and we've kind of helped them out. And oftentimes we share speakers.
Yeah.
So we had a speaker from California, so we were able, there was a little more expense involved. Mm. We were able to share, and they had her one day and we had her another. But yeah, I mean, they're sprouting up all over the place, and it's beautiful to see.
With the diocese granting its approbation to all you're doing and everything else, I presume there's some kind of liaison with the diocese or some...
Well, the diocese, they have... I have to say that our bishop is wonderful, Bishop Caggiano, and he has put together a directory of all the ecclesial movements, the fraternities. He gets us all together several times a year, and we talk about certain things, but he has a whole directory of all of the different, there must be over 100 movements that are in the diocese. So we do kind of get together with that, and he has come to our breakfast. He
yes.
has spoken with our
He was
to our
one
breakfast,
of our speakers.
One of our special speakers mm. that we had. And so he's been very supportive to our group.
Mm. Now, I believe you've mentioned Father Carew. I remember him very much in the Charismatic Renewal
yes.
movement years
yes.
ago.
Right.
Could you bring us up to date in regard to, is he involved with you?
Well, he is. He's our spiritual director, and he's been with us since the very beginning.
Right.
He comes to every single breakfast, which is wonderful. He is a wonderful support. Any questions that come up, we have him to go to question. I do like to run the speakers that we're thinking about having through him to get his approval, and he comes to our breakfast, and he usually gives a 15-minute talk on whatever it could be, a lesson or something that has happened to him. But it's amazing how when we put these breakfasts together, how everything comes together with a theme, and I just wish I would write down the theme of each breakfast that we never start out with, but it ends up,
mm-hmm.
and to see what it does. But everything comes together. We have little packets that we put out for each person at the tables, and even the pictures on those packets tend to just be
coordinated with whatever's going on. Even though we didn't plan it, mm-hmm. it always seems that someone from above is guiding us that's the right way to go, and that's the message that the women are supposed to hear at that breakfast.
Yeah.
And we pray before each
happen.
Meeting. Yeah,
we pray, and we also, the Blessed Mother, she does everything. Mm. I mean, she takes everything, and we never have to worry about meeting our goals. We usually want to make sure that we have a certain number of guests, people that register, and we always seem to do it. So she is, I give her all the credit for all of these breakfasts.
How can any woman throughout the United States, because you say you have chapters all through
everywhere.
And internationally,
yeah.
a lady listening to the radio program would like to find out if she has a Magnificat in her area, what would she do? How would she?
I think she would contact her diocese, the bishop's office, possibly.
Actually, you can go on to the Magnificat website, mm-hmm. and it lists out all of the chapters, and it also, this has just started, they put what the their breakfast dates are. So it gives them. So even
know.
If you're traveling and you wanted to attend a Magnificat mm-hmm. breakfast, just look it up as to where you're going to be, and it will tell you if there's going to be a Magnificat breakfast that weekend.
I think, Fran, you and Dorothy both hit really both cases. Of course, the people, maybe certain women, are involved in the Internet or anything like that, and you've come up. You either go to the Internet, or you could call the diocese. You
right,
have to call
right.
your local parish. They may
mm-hmm.
be able to direct you to someone
that's
right.
who will be able to do
yeah.
that. So either way,
yes.
you know, we'll get there. When we talk about women in the church, you know, I'm sitting here now. My two guests are women. My co-host is a woman. Our my engineer is a woman. And here I am feeling quite lonely. To, you know, the women run the church. They really do. And I guess what I'm saying, is there anything unique that you've discovered about women's spirituality? or distinct?
I would say in St. Pope John Paul II's apostolic letter to the women that women have a feminine genius. And in that, it shows that women are, they will bring generations on, but they also bring the spirituality into the household. And so there's something to be said about the feminine personality. And it's the example of the Blessed Mother is par excellence. She was the wonderful feminine person, and she's a perfect example to follow.
Mm. Well, imagine at 15 you're told you are pregnant with child, and she accepted the message
no
of God
question.
With no question because
question.
Her faith was so strong.
Right.
And she knew God, so even before then. So when that happened to her, she had to know that that was coming from God, and she was always obedient. And the word
always.
Is obedient in this day and age. Women need to be obedient and listen to God and the Holy Spirit and how to live their lives.
I might add, the guys, we have to do the same thing. You know, when you think of the Magnificat and our Blessed Mother visiting her cousin Elizabeth, both women pregnant, and both... in amazing ways, actually, you know. But Mary uses Psalms from the Old Testament to proclaim this beautiful prayer, and she calls herself really the handmaid of the Lord. And I keep wondering how you might see that as being the handmaid of the Lord in the 21st century environment of women who work. So how do you bring the Lord to the workplace as well as home or in your parishes? Mm. In 25 words or less.
That's a hard one.
I think by example. I think, you know, you have to see Christ in everybody. I know that's a difficult thing to say, especially if you have a coworker who is extremely difficult. But I think you have to look past that. And, you know, even just people on the street smiling at someone, saying hello, you don't know what their experience is right now. Or if someone is a little snippy, you have to look past that because you don't know what's happening to them. I think you just have to see Christ in everybody and take that few seconds and try to put yourself in someone else's position before.
I think if you think of in history of women in the church, there is no doubt there was St. Monica. If it wasn't St. Monica, St. Augustine would not have converted.
Right.
St.
Right.
Catherine of Siena changed the church. Joan of Arc changed the church. So the examples go on and on as to the power of women in the church and how they have transformed the church spiritually.
Mm. You know, I do like and enjoy ancient history as far as church history, and you see so many times where, let's take a look at the Dark Ages or something, so many of those pagan kings and leaders, some Roman emperors, so many had Christian wives, and the wives influenced the conversion of the husbands.
That's true.
So that has been working all along the way. Well, let me how do you see yourself? You may have answered this already, but I wonder if you take the very popular notion today of evangelization in promoting Magnificat, period, but also in promoting yourself as affected by the Spirit and an example of our Blessed Mother. How do you see yourself functioning in the evangelization movement?
I think that Magnificat is a big part of Magnificat's charism is evangelization. And I remember Pope John Paul II had said that testimonies are the biggest form of evangelizing other people, because when you're hearing somebody talking from their heart and what their life has transformed from, that is where those people will learn from that. So I do believe that it's a big part of evangelizing, and I think that if you're a Catholic, you do have to, when you're in the workplace or wherever you are, you have to be able to promote that so that other people know you know, that your faith is first and foremost.
Well, I think our logo, you know, it's Mary and Elizabeth. Mary mm-hmm. went immediately to Elizabeth, and women, that's what we do. We talk to each other, and mm-hmm. I think every chance I have, I tell people what Magnificat did for me. And like Fran said, with the testimonies, it's so personal. That person is getting up and telling you it could be the worst something at the worst time of her life when she was so sad. But the mercy and blessings of God that brought her through whatever that tough time was, and what a positive effect it's had, totally changing their life. Everybody who hears that thinks, well, you know, if I'm having a hard time, look what happened to them. It's so effective and so powerful to hear what an effect the love of God can have in your life, no matter what's going on with you.
That brings to mind, there's a beautiful poem in Spanish called Biblica, and it is the mother of Jesus and the mother of Judas encountering each other along the way. And the mother of Judas embraces the Mary and says, look at what my son did to your son. And our blessed mother embraces her and thinks, but just think what my son did for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it is two mothers in different points of the spectrum. Yes. It's beautiful. It's a Spanish poem, but I just thought of that when you were saying about...
And I think also this, I have heard from some of the speakers after they gave their testimony that it was almost a help for them to give their testimony. Mm-hmm. They almost felt that they were made whole again after giving the testimony. Mm-hmm. So it's two parts. It's helping those women that are listening, but it's also helping,
helping those
people that are giving the testimony and to make them whole again, because some of these things that we've heard in the past were very hard, you know, for it's a suffering. But I think, like Mary, they, instead of shriveling up and stopping their life, they went on and they accepted whatever God had for them. And so...
received the strength that they needed to overcome whatever had happened.
Yeah.
That's what I always feel from them.
My other question had to do with men and how your effect, or the effect of Magnificat or our Blessed Mother on women will affect the man. The man now might be the husband, it might be boyfriend, might be a boss at work. It could be any kind of where that relationship may occur. Like, you know, the guys, they may be, are they more suspicious or saying, well, this is really, really nice, but it's really for women, that kind of thing. Do you see any impact?
Well, I think it has impact on men, because, of course, you know, if it's their wives that are involved or their girlfriends, it kind of filters down to them. But I also believe that men, you know, they have to have this persona about them as being that, you know, nothing makes them feel bad or, you know...
Yeah,
good. They have to be a tough guy, but I do believe that they know, you know, they know the wisdom behind, you know, the faith, and when women are strong, you know, God uses that to work in men's lives.
And I think it's made me a better person. So I think if I'm a better person, then the people I come in contact with will have a better outcome. I'll be better and nicer to my family. I'll be able to talk more about the faith and grow their love of the church and of God, because I'm a better person for it.
And not only that, if people see that you are happy inside and out, it's contagious.
Correct.
They want to be like you.
Right.
They want that. That it's something that they would like.
It's that peace that I think everybody is looking for. And you know, especially in this day and age when everybody is just going, and they're always looking for different areas to get that peace, but it's not
out there.
It's not out there. It's
inside.
In their heart.
It's in their heart.
Right. Does, again, thinking of the titles of Mary, does the title of Our Lady of Sorrows touch, or in the testimony you've heard, touch the lives of women, especially at these events you attend?
I would say.
You know, kind of bearing the crosses. And again, going back to moms, mm-hmm. you know, they tend to be so intimately involved, not only with the joys of their children, but the troubles that their children face.
Well, I'll have to say that we do have prayer requests. And we have a portion of the breakfast where everybody brings up in a basket, the hostesses brings up the prayer requests. And I'll tell you, 95% of those prayer requests are moms asking God to pray for their children and to bring them back to the Catholic faith or, you know, something to do with their children. So it's a big issue out there. But the praying moms, we know St. Monica, and we know that God is good. And, you know, we continue to pray, and, you know, it will work out.
You know, it's a very difficult world. It's a very challenging world. Mm-hmm. And the young people have such a hard time today. Conflicts with politics, with religion, with sex, with drugs. Mm-hmm. It's just so much out there that I can understand why mothers have that feeling.
Right.
When you have young children, and especially teenage children.
Right. That's why we're doing this program
in January
for young women who are college age. Who colleges, you know, promote so much that, you know, it kind of takes them away from their faith, their Catholic faith upbringing. So, you know, we brought a speaker in. We have a testimony from a young girl, and we're looking to try and bring those girls back to a stronger faith, and they can bring it back to their colleges.
Mm. We're dealing with who brought this to us was Rebecca, who was working as an intern for Fairfield County Catholic. And she's at Steubenville, but she said she has friends that are at different colleges, and they get to college, and if they're faith-filled, there's no outlet for them. And talking about sex and religion and marriage and what type of mother do you want to be, how do you balance work with being faithful and a loving wife, that's what we're trying to reach out to give them a little help with their decision making. Between 18 and 25, that's really when you start thinking about this. And what we're doing with this day on January 7th is try to give them a basis to help them form the correct decisions, to give them an outlet, to introduce them to Magnificat so that they would feel welcome to come back to us. So we're doing it when we're hoping that that group of young women will be home from college. And we're hoping that it'll be very popular with them.
And not only that they can learn that there is a Magnificat outside in other places that they can reach out to.
Right, wherever they are at college.
So there's always a place to go to learn more about Magnificat. And it seems like it's great. It's organization, but it involves so much of the personal. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll leave this program at that. I'd like to thank you. We've been listening to Fran Hood and to Pat Panicia of Magnificat. Fran's a coordinator of the Diocesan Magnificat, and Pat is the treasurer, and they do so much good work. And I'd like to thank you, our listeners, for being with us. Please join us again next week.